Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m., you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing this program at any other time, we invite you also to call that same number and leave a voicemail with your question or concern, and we'll talk about it soon here on Basic Gospel. Either way, we'd like to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Once again, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
And, folks, today is a perfect day to call in with your question. Andrew Farley is with us, as he is every Wednesday. And, Andrew, welcome.
Hey, great to be with you guys, as always.
Yeah, always good to be with you. Andrew, our verse for the day, we've been talking about this new covenant all month long and how important it is for us as believers in Christ to recognize that we live in the new, not in the old, that we truly are new covenant believers. But here's a passage that really, I think, summarizes that reality, that truth. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And Paul writes this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and that's the key, are you in Christ or not? And if you're in Christ, then you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That really lays it out, doesn't it, for us?
Yeah, it certainly has a lot to do with us being under this new covenant, because in particular, it has to do with us being new people with a new heart, with a new spirit, with God's spirit living in us. And I love the previous verse. It says, don't regard people according to a worldly point of view. And you think about the racism and the hate and the bigotry and the partiality that goes on in our world across planet Earth. And then you see here God's solution for all of that, that, hey, let's get in Christ. Let's be in Christ together and find unity in Jesus. Let's recognize each other according to who we're in, not according to our socioeconomic status or our nationality, our heritage, our lineage on this earth, but our new perspective of being in Christ. And so this is a beautiful passage about that new life that we have in Jesus. It's amazing, though, guys. I mean, you know, when you're 7 years old, you hear, I can have Jesus living in my heart. And then you grow up, and after receiving Jesus, you hear that you've got a dirty heart, a wicked heart, an evil heart. You're told that you're the old self and the new self, that there's maybe two of you. I don't know, maybe you've got two hearts and two selves and two spiritual natures. And we hear this duality. And then Paul comes along in this passage. He says, the old has gone, the new is here. So, yeah, we're learning and we're growing. We're getting that renewing of the mind, but we need to know, as far as our hearts and our spirits and our union with Jesus, man, the old has gone and the new is here.
Yes, indeed. And this is a consistent theme throughout Paul's writings. I mean, this isn't just one isolated verse that people kind of latch on to. But if you read all of his letters, you see how much Paul talks about new creation. For example, in Galatians 6, he said, neither uncircumcision or circumcision counts for anything. What counts is a new creation, the fact that we have been made new in Jesus Christ. So we see that in Romans 6 as well. We've been baptized into Christ's death, into his burial, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. That old man has been crucified. We've been made new in Jesus Christ. So this is a consistent theme, and I think it's a missing link in so many people's understanding of the gospel and the power of the gospel and the benefit of the gospel. And that's why so many people are falling short as far as living out the fullness of the gospel in their lives day in and day out, because they don't know they're new creatures in Christ. So how can we correct that? How can we get people to see this important truth?
Yeah, so who do you believe you are? Who's in there? Who's inside there? You say, well, I received Jesus. Jesus is in there. Okay, that's certainly a big part of it, a huge part of it, but Jesus is not the new creation. You are. Jesus doesn't need to be born of the Spirit. You did. And so you're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. You're a new creation, and you're united to Jesus. And I think, you know, Bob, as long as we have this, it's got to be all Jesus and none of me, and I'm a dirty worm, and shove me in the corner, and more of him and less of me, then we think that's humility. But here's the love of God. The love of God invites you in. The love of God says, you get to be a part of this. You become part of my family. And so when we become children of God, we're made into these new creations with this beautiful spiritual surgery. And, you know, Paul says in Galatians 6, he says, all who follow this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. You say, follow this rule. What rule? Well, in context, it's the rule of the new creation. And I love that because, you know, if you think you're dirty, then you're going to need a long list of rules to live by. But if you realize you're clean and you're close and you're one with Jesus, him and you and him, then, man, you can live by this rule of the new creation, and you'll experience peace. And that's what it's all about, man. You're on God's team. You've got peace with him. You're one with him. You're compatible with him. He did something amazing to you at salvation. He didn't just cancel your debt like a banker. He didn't just give you a new destination like a travel agent. No, he came in like a heart surgeon, and he changed who you are at the core.
And that is good news. And boy, if there's anything that we at Basic Gospel and Andrew Farley Ministries want to get across, it's that truth, what God has done for each of us in Christ Jesus, crucifying that old man and raising us up so that we can enjoy the fullness of life by grace through faith in Jesus. So if you have questions about that, how to live out the real you, the new you, this new creation, let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Call right now, 844-322-2742. Bob?
And folks, you know, we say it all the time. Without your faithful support, this ministry called Basic Gospel, it just wouldn't be here. So we are very thankful for those of you who support the ministry. And of course, as we approach this most important time in the Christian calendar, coming up as Easter, well, you know, this is a time that we all should be very, very thankful. And I think it's a wonderful time to express that thankfulness and support of a ministry through the New Covenant that is a grace-centered message, and it's a grace-centered ministry, and that we call Basic Gospel. And Andrew, I know that you agree it's a most important time in the Christian world, and share with our listeners a little bit about the importance that you attach to this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, without the resurrection, there's no message, there's no Jesus, because, you know, he would just be a dead spiritual teacher that was a great guy and said some nice things, maybe claimed to be God. But as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I mean, if Christ was not raised, then we're still dead in our sins, and we're just playing church at this point. So the resurrection is essential. It is the core of Christianity. I hear people again and again say we're saved by the cross, and that's just not the truth. It's not the whole picture. It's great to celebrate Friday, but we've got to graduate to Sunday and say, I'm a child of the resurrection. I'm raised to newness of life with Jesus, and that's because he rose from the dead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Andrew. And friends, we want you to join us. If you would please go to basicgospel.net, just click that big prominent donate link right there on the home page, and stand with us, friends. Be a partner with us at Basic Gospel to keep this message going far and wide.
That's
far.
Exactly right.
844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition. 844-322-2742. And guys, we had this call that came in off hours.
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm calling from Fayetteville. I wanted to know, as a Christian, do we live out of the Old Testament or the New Testament? Thank you, and I love listening to your show.
It's a very important question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it is, Bob. But, you know, this is something that we've been celebrating for decades on end, being in New Covenant ministry, that the New Covenant provides a better hope for us. We see this in Hebrews 7. It says the former regulation is set aside. That's talking about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament law, set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. So if you've ever found yourself saying, I want to draw near to God, I wish I was close to God, well, you can discover right here in Hebrews 7 the way to be close to God, the way to draw near to God is not through what you're doing. That would be Old Testament law. It is instead through what God did for you. So if God did it, how close can you be? If God did it, then how near can you draw? And the answer, of course, is that you're perfectly near, perfectly bonded, perfectly close, one with Him. And that's the hope of this new covenant. Hebrews 8 says, the old covenant has been made obsolete, and it's aging and will soon disappear. Why? Because it says God found fault with the people. Nobody could keep it. I mean, that Old Testament law was an all-or-nothing proposition. It was like being married to a perfectionist. I mean, you do 99 things fantastic, just like he or she wants, but that one thing, if you miss the one thing, then, well, it's like you scored a zero. And so it is with law-based living. If you keep the whole law, James says, and you stumble in one point, you're guilty of all of it. So that's why today we need to be celebrating. Look, there's been a change of priesthood. There's been a change of high priest. His name is Christ. And there's been a change of law. And this ministry that Jesus has is superior to the Old Testament law. There's a better kind of forgiveness. There's eternal life in it. There's living under grace. And Bob, it is just a world's better, and every Christian needs to know this. It's their birthright.
Absolutely. And Andrew, talk to us just briefly about when this new covenant went into effect. You know, we had the law. We know that that went into effect at Mount Sinai. We know the story. We've read the story in the book of Exodus, and we see how God etched those laws with the on stone with his finger, and how Moses brought that down to the people, and they responded, "All that you have said, Lord, we will do." So we have a really good understanding about that Mosaic covenant, that law, and when that went into effect. But it seems like we're kind of confused about the new covenant when that went into effect. So speak to us a little bit about that, the transition point where the world went from old to new in Jesus.
Well, I think God has tried to make it really graphic for us so that we would never forget. I mean, even under that Old Testament law that you mentioned, Bob, when Moses comes down from the mountain, he's slaughtering animals, he's gathering the blood, he's sprinkling it all over the scroll, he's sprinkling it all over the people. All over the people. I mean, just get that. There you are in a church service and you're doused with blood. I mean, how graphic can that be? Well, God was trying to make a point, and here it is, that without the shedding of blood, without death and blood, there is no covenant in effect. So now you say, well, when did the new covenant come into effect? Well, it's the same idea, except now it's the blood of Jesus, not the blood of animals. So the cross, the death of Christ on Calvary, is what brought in the new covenant. And so I know we crack open our Bibles to Matthew 1, and then you flip back one page, and it says in big block letters, it says the New Testament. And the publisher put that there, and sure, I get it. I mean, there were hundreds of years between Malachi and Matthew, so a divider page. I mean, it makes sense. But here's the problem. The New Testament era, the New Covenant, doesn't really begin in Matthew 1. That's the birth of Jesus. But remember, a covenant goes into force at a death. So it is not the birth, but the death of Christ that brought in the new covenant. And lastly, I just want to say, why is this a big deal? Why is this 33-year shift forward in our mentality? Why is it so important to understand the true starting point of the new covenant? Well, I mean, just look at the teachings of Jesus. Not all of them. I mean, sure, he's talking about love and light and the Holy Spirit and the Comforter and the vine and branches, and that's some very beautiful stuff. That's new covenant stuff that he's referring to. But have you ever looked at him as he talks about cutting off your hand and plucking out your eye and telling the rich man to go sell everything and calling the Pharisees a brood of snakes and whitewashed tombs and saying, get the log out of your own eye before you point at the speck in somebody else's, and get right with your brother before you offer your animal sacrifice? What's he doing? Well, all of that is before the cross, before his blood is shed, before the new covenant comes in. And he's trying to show them, you guys can't keep the law. If you try, you're just a bunch of hypocrites, and you need God's grace, and that's what I'm going to give you through my death and resurrection.
Yes, indeed. Well, that is good news. So, Jackie, in response to your question, we are new covenant believers. Get that right and everything will fall into place for you, and you will be able to experience the full measure of Christ's life in you.
Absolutely. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you, everybody. Open lines, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Pennsylvania and talk with David, who has an interesting question about angels. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Hey, we were doing a Bible study last night in the book of Hebrews, okay? We're in the first chapter, and we're discussing about angels and so on. And I just threw out the question. I said, are there female angels in heaven? And nobody knew the answer or anything like that, you know. And I was just curious, you know, because here on earth, we depict angels as women, like, you know, the angel on the tree and so on, up on the top of the tree and so on. You know, when did can you guys talk about that? Like, when my guess is maybe there isn't female angels, I don't know, up there or whatever. Yeah. But I was just curious, you know, how did that ever come into play, you know?
Mm. Well, I don't know how the idea of female angels actually came in. You know, to my recollection, as you look through the Bible, you've got Michael, you've got Gabriel, you've got all of these different angels, including ones who were later fallen. You know, you look at Satan and... These are all masculine, and you even look at the word. I mean, in the original language, the word angels, it is a masculine word. So, you know, as far as there being any female angels or angels having female gender, I don't see it. I don't see it anywhere in Scripture to my recollection. So I think we have to kind of assume, given the names of the angels and the way they're referred to, in the Greek, for example, that we're looking at a masculine gender there.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, you're welcome, David. I think the other thing that's important for us to realize is, you know, we put so much stock into angels. I mean, there's many religions that are built upon the words of angels. And Paul addressed that in Galatians and said, if anyone, even an angel, comes to you and speaks another gospel other than the one I've spoken, let them forever be accursed. So we put a lot of stock in angels. We put a lot of stock in the supernatural. But according to the writer of Hebrews, they're simply messengers to serve those who are going to inherit salvation. So we have to see them in a completely different light. They're not like you and me. They will never ever taste the grace of God. They will never ever know what the grace of God is all about. That's only reserved for human beings, for the yous and the me's. We are the ones saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not angels.
Yeah, and you know, this passage that he even brought up, Hebrews 1, just really affirms what you're saying, Bob. I mean, it says in verse 5, to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I've become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son." And so the point is, the angels never had that privilege. They never had that honor. And furthermore, you know, earlier in this same chapter, it says, you know, God used to speak in all kinds of ways through the prophets and the Old Testament. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his son. So don't be distracted. Keep your eyes on the son. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And if someone tells you they had a message from an angel, an appearance of an angel, you know, doctrines brought by angels or whatever, you know, as Paul told those Galatians, you know, run for the hills, forget about it, fix your eyes on Christ. He is our everything.
Yes, indeed. Well, David, thanks for your call, and we appreciate that question.
Thanks for the lesson.
Yeah, you are so welcome. Well, let's go to Kansas and talk with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How you guys doing?
Doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I was just reading about when Paul's talking about, you know, running a race, that something come to me. I was going to do it in a story form. These people gather for a race, and all of a sudden a stranger appears and says, "Hey, you mind if I run for you? I guarantee a victory if you let me run. And in fact, I'll even give you a reward afterward if you let me run the race for you." And they're all like, "Nah, nah, nah, nah." One guy's not so sure. He's like, "Yeah, I'm not so sure. I can't beat these guys. They're too good. They're too smart, too athletic." He says, "You guarantee me victory." He goes, "Trust me. Let me run the race for you. I will win." The guy goes, "Okay, I'll let you run." So, of course, they start the race. Everybody's running around. They're all trying to beat each other. They're all in the race. All the race. Get close to the end. All of a sudden, they look up. They see the stranger already stand at the finish line. They slow down. They stop. They go, "Well, wait a second. How'd you..." He says, "Well, didn't I tell you that if you let me run the race for you, I guarantee you victory?" He says, "But now that the race is over, there's nothing I can do for you. It's too late. But as for this person here, he will get his reward just as I promised."
Mm. Yeah.
So it is, I guess, when you talk about life or with everything, it's all about your trust in, of course, the stranger was Jesus.
Yeah.
Your trust is all in Jesus. The only way you win the race is through him, not through self-effort or anything else. And I wanted to stress this to people to listen, that they think they have all the time in the world. They don't. In the blink of an eye, it can be over with. It's not, "Oh, I got 20 minutes when Jesus comes back." No, it's the blink of an eye, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Blink of an eye, everything changes. And I just want people to come to aware the need for Jesus is really something they need in their life, not something they should put off.
Yeah. That's why the scripture is very clear in saying today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Yeah.
If the gospel message is piercing your heart today, today is the day to respond. Well, Tracy, thanks for that. We sure appreciate it. Let's go to Scott. Hi, Scott. You have the last word today.
Yeah, just wanted to get into...
Scott, are you there? Looks like you have a question about the law. Sin is breaking the law. How do we deal with that, Andrew?
Yeah, so imagine if we were defining sin by the law today in a life of a believer. I mean, eating shellfish would be sin. Eating pork would be sin. Friday night emails would be sin. Saturday yard work, too. Thank God we're not defining sin that way. Christians aren't under the law. We're under God's grace. And what is sin for us? Well, anything that's not in dependency on Christ. That's our focus. Let's run this race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, throwing off every sin that entangles us. It's all about him. He's the standard.
Yes, indeed. Well, Scott, thanks for that question. Sorry we don't have more time to address that a little more fully, but please call again on a future broadcast. We would love to talk with you about that further.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we ask you to support this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift, we have a copy of a rich resource for you. It's by Bob Christopher. It's called The New Covenant Journey, and it will help you live your life in Christ Jesus to the very fullest. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. A reminder once again that if you have a question overnight, we would love for you to post a voicemail for us. You can do it at the regular number, the 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week number, 844-322-2742. It's always there to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. We want you to take full advantage of it, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our thanks as always to Andrew Farley for being with us today, well, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.